Good morning. Are you having a good summer? Taking all things into consideration? Well, I want to tell you a story. A story that's often told in Hungary, and it's about a man who walked in and complained to his rabbi. Life is unbearable. There are 9 of us living in just one room. What can I do? And the rabbi answered and said, take your goat into the room with you. Do as I say and come back in 1 week. The man was quite shocked by the rabbi's suggestion, but decided to obey. Home he went and brought his goat from the backyard into the only room that they had. Now, there were 9 people in the room plus 1 goat. 1 week later, as instructed, the man returned to his rabbi, even more upset than he'd been the week before. We can't stand it. The goat is filthy. It stinks. And it gets unbearably noisy in the middle of the night when we're all trying to sleep. Calmly, the rabbi replied, go home. Let the goat back out into the yard. Then come back again in 1 more week's time. A week later, as requested, the man returned, this time absolutely radiant. Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it now that there's no goat. And better still, there's only 9 of us in the room. Sometimes in life, we need to have a goat experience to teach us contentment. Far too often, we lose our perspective. We end up focusing on all the wrong things. This would be so easy for us to be doing now as we spend our days, many people cooped up in their homes or places where they're lining up in grocery stores. Grandparents are afraid to touch their grandchildren. And many other similar things are now becoming the new normal. When we lose our focus in life, things suddenly get turned upside down. We become ungrateful and soon start to complain when we concentrate on life's difficulties. We can even hear that in church. The music is too loud. Or it's not loud enough, I can't hear. Or I don't know most of the songs they want us to sing. The preacher talks too long, and he doesn't even look like a minister with all that curly hair. When we do this, or anything close to this, and I can be as guilty as anyone else, we've taken our eyes off the one who holds our very breath in his hand, and who loves us. And instead, we turn the focus in on ourselves and what we want. And you know, sometimes it might be that what we want is not what the Lord wants for us. 17th century Puritan preacher was named Jeremy Burroughs once wrote, Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal of every condition. Is that where you are? Contentment is learning to trust God's administration of our lives no matter what might be happening around us, even a COVID-19 pandemic. And this is how Paul summed it up in 1 Timothy 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Now, I know that there are 2 clergy in this church that might try to correct my pronunciation of Greek, since I didn't study Greek. So, I'm going to ask. The Greek word for contentment, and I hope I pronounce it correctly, is autarkia. Okay. It's a combination of 2 words, autos, meaning self, and archeo, meaning to be sufficient or to be full. Contentment, then, means to being satisfied within ourselves. This does not mean that we cannot try to improve ourselves, because I'm quite sure there are some people inside this building that might need a little bit of improvement. I'll send Bill around to visit you one day. Some people might think they're going to get improved by taking self-improvement classes or looking into the possibility of job advancement. But it does not mean that such things or roles should not be the things that drive our lives. We should become satisfied with our circumstances, even when it means closing down something like Holy Trinity Church that was started over 12 years ago in Victoria. Or if we're cooped up and can't go to dinner. Paul encourages us to be content, even if all we have is food and clothing. Why? Because we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. In Canada, most of us have plenty of food and more than enough clothes, yet we do have a tendency to covet what others have. Their 60-inch flat-screen TV in both their living room and their family room. To be driving the latest model Audi Quattro. Or owning a timeshare condo in Hawaii. They will allow Canadians in down there, you know, in Hawaii. Not Americans, but they'll allow Canadians in. We allow society's marketing ploys and television advertisements to make us discontent by constantly telling us that what we own and what we have are not as up to date as they could be. But Scripture tells us to be content. So how do we do that? My grace is sufficient for you. This is what God said to Paul. And I wonder how Paul felt when he heard God say that. And I understand also in Greek that the word for sufficient is the very same word for content. In other words, Scripture is telling us that God's grace is enough. That contentment is seeing yourself as having enough, as being sufficient in life, exactly where and how you are. Right now on this Sunday, sitting in this church, are you feeling the contentment that God's grace is enough for you? Am I feeling contentment after conducting services and preaching for 58 years this past July and am now hanging up my robes? Sort of. Paul wrote, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the original, I have learned is the same as I have been initiated. Paul had been initiated into contentment with the Lord, not just instructed about contentment. Here's how Paul explained it and talks about his contentment in 2 Corinthians. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. You get tired just talking about it, don't you? Imagine how Paul felt, because he was in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils, etc., and so forth. And beside the other things, what calls upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? And what do? We complain about having to wear one of these. I complain. I got the string on this thing. I got arms on my glasses, and I got hearing aids on. Can you just imagine what the mess it is for me? Hey, Matt, you know, don't you? Am I content? I am in the Lord. Paul went through quite an initiation. Over the course of his ministry, God put Paul into many situations where he literally had to decide whether to be content, to trust God's overall management of his circumstances, or to complain about how unfair life is. What do we do? Do we wear masks? Do I? Paul experienced persecution, peril, illness, shipwrecks, jail time, stonings, beatings, and sleeplessness. Sooner or later, if not already, we too will face hardships, experiences that can initiate us into contentment if we let them. When they come upon us, will we have to ask ourselves, am I going to live above my circumstances? Can I let God take my possessions away from me? Will I be content when that happens? In many ways, the events in life are like a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. When we first open the box and dump all the pieces in the middle of the table, we don't really understand how all of the pieces fit together. We might even pick up a piece and, looking at the picture on the box, have absolutely no idea, not a clue how it fits in. But with a degree of patience, one by one, we start to fit the pieces together. And eventually we begin to see where all the pieces belong. In the very same way, we need to trust the fact that God, as the administrator of our lives, knows how all the pieces fit together. And in that trust, we need to say, all right, Lord, I have absolutely no idea how this piece fits or how it's going to work, but I do know that you've made promises to me. I know that you have said that no weapon formed against me will stand. I know that you have said that you will supply all of my needs in Christ Jesus. So as I walk into the next years of my life, virus or no virus, I am going to trust you. Looking past today, we have things we have to consider for our lives. Looking at today, can you say with me, Father, I'm going to trust you? Can you say that? Can you say it out loud? Can you confess it out loud? Father, I am going to trust you. Looking past today into tomorrow's, will you say with me, I am going to leave what I have been fretting about in your hands? Did you mean it when you said it?
Can you say it again? That's a good idea to do it here. Say the whole thing.
I am going to leave what I have been fretting about in your hands. And now say,
at some point,
I will see how this virus and its effects fits into the jigsaw puzzle of my life. And I will trust you. Many people, you know, like to quote Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But rarely have I ever heard it quoted within its proper context. You see, it follows verse 12, which is all about contentment. Paul was saying, I can be content no matter what the circumstances are because I can do it in Jesus. Because I can do it in Jesus. So while we must make the decision, the effort to practice contentment, we cannot do it alone. We need Jesus' strength. But we must decide to be content. We must decide to praise God for all the good things that he has done. And we must decide to trust him, no matter how difficult the circumstance might happen to be. As we go forward and focus on who Jesus is and his plan for our lives, we can be content through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. Many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. I hope many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a great example of what it means to focus on others. I've met Johnny. She's the daughter of a Reformed Episcopal clergyman. Johnny was out swimming with her friends at about age 19, and she dove off the rack, hit the bottom, and is now quadriplegic. And I have witnessed the contentment that Johnny has and her faith in the Lord. I've talked to her. And although she was a quadriplegic back then due to that accident, nevertheless, she has allowed God to use her disability to initiate her into contentment, and now uses her platform to advocate for others with disabilities. Johnny once said, "Contentment is an internal quietness of the heart that gladly submits to God in all circumstances." Do you gladly submit to God in all circumstances? Are you submitting to God the disappointments that you feel during this pandemic? Or are you fighting with God, asking why he's allowing this to happen? Learn contentment. Learn how to submit to God's will in your life. Learn to walk through new doors that God may be opening for you. Today, I invite all of you to reaffirm God's sovereignty over your will, your way, your life. Praise him for blessings that he has already poured into your life. Allow your experiences with God to initiate you into contentment. And then practice contentment with Jesus' help. The Lord has yet to pour over you all the blessings that he has in store for you. But more than that, know the following. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to plant what is planted, to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Today, your purpose, God's purpose for each of you, was to be gathered here together as a family of Jesus Christ. What will your purpose be tomorrow? Before you go to sleep tonight, ask God. Ask God, believing he will tell you, he will show you, he will lead you. Trust him. He's worth trusting. And may God bless you.